أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد
وعلى أهل بيته الأطيبين الأنجبين، بهم نتولى ومن أعدائهم نتبرأ إلى الله. اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا، حتى تسكنه أرضك توعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا. Before we move on to our topic, among the beauties of our faith and religion is that we just don't talk about friendship. Wherever the concept of friendship, wherever the concept of love is mentioned, immediately the concept of hate, the concept of enemy also has to be understood. Again, if you see the ruling that we have, before you say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, you say A'udhu billahi minash shaitan ar-Rajim. That shaitan has to be put aside, and then you say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Or again, the same teaching is in the Ziyarat Ashura. As soon as you say Allahumma al-an awwala zalimin zalama haqqa Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad, until the end, immediately you say Assalamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah wa ala al-arwah allati halat bi fana'ik. So both the enemy and the friend have to be known. It was the conspiracy of the Bani Umayya and the tactics or the whole policy that was laid by Saqifa is that you just talk about Iman, talk about Iman. Kufr, you don't need to know about it. Talk about Rahman, Shaitan, you don't need to understand him. So that was the foundation stone laid of that. Then you just be after prayers, other things you don't mind. You find that many of the sects that we have in Islam, to many of these ahkam, they give a lot of importance. But when it comes to knowing the enemy, they are blind, they are ignorant. May that be the enemy in the interior or the enemy in the open. Tashayyu' gives a lot of emphasis to this issue, that if you want to be the associate of the 12th Imam, you should know who the associates of, who the enemies of the 12th Imam are as well. That way we can get a better understanding of what being a friend of the Imam is, and what should be in us and what should not be in us. That way we can get a better picture. So the ma'rifats of the enemy again is important. And based upon the importance of the incident, of the event, Shaitan also has a role to play in it. In many of these meetings, for example the UN, if you take into consideration, in some of the meetings the head of the state, he has to attend in the annual meetings that they have. In some of the other meetings, he is not required to attend. The ambassador could do the job. In many of the smaller meetings, it could be any one of the staff of an embassy, or sometimes anyone who can come and attend the meeting. So based upon the importance of the meeting, the personalities or the dignitaries who need to attend are assigned. Ghadir was an important meeting, was an important event. And to no event so many witnesses has Islam got as these shuhud and witnesses were present in the event of Ghadir. 120,000 eyewitnesses who saw what Rasulullah said there. And in just 2.5 months after that event, everything just turned back. How did this happen? And again, In events like that, Shaitan, he is present there in person. He doesn't send any one of his associates, any one of his representatives, but he himself attends in such meetings. The same thing was with Saqifa after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. What happens is Amir al-Mu'mineen, he's alone. He carries out with the funeral services of Rasulullah. And then Abazar, he comes and says, Imam asks, what news? He says that, yes, the first one has been elected as the Khalifa. And he says that I was amazed to see someone, a very pious person, a very pious look. And he was the one who was moved, who was so much in distress, as if he was weeping for this atrocity that has fallen upon us. And he, crying, weeping, was the first one to extend his allegiance, his bay'at, to Abu Bakr. Amir al-Mu'mineen says, do you know who he was? He says, no, I never saw him before, this was the first time. But he had a very pious look. Says that was Shaitan in person. Because the event was an important event, Shaitan doesn't send any representatives in those meetings. He was himself present in that majlis, because if the foundation stone of that wasn't laid properly, of that kufr or of that misguidance, deviation, wasn't laid properly, then Shaitan, his tasks were incomplete. So in certain places, Shaitan, he is there in person. In certain places, he sends his representatives. And to understand this, again, there is this story which is famous from Shaykh Ansari among the great ulama of the Shia world of the past century. His wife was in labor. Now the midwife, she comes and says that, get some oil. We need that oil. And in those days, the mother had to consume that oil for her delivery to be eased. He says, okay, he was busy with his study. And then she again comes by lunchtime, reminds again that I need that oil by sunset. Comes after a while, again reminds him again. And then he says, okay, now when it was sunset, he gets up. He had khums money, which was lawful for him, and he could have used it. He takes 2 dirhams from that money. And then all of a sudden, he is reminded that if some other student here in Najaf today, his wife was in labor, and if he was in need of this money, will he have access to it? He just puts that money back. At that time, another Arif, he has a vision. He sees Shaitan in his vision and says that I saw him with so many tools, with so many strings, twines, gadgets, ropes, all these colorful things hanging around him. And then he saw a huge big chain that was shattered and broken, that was on his shoulders. And then he says, what are these tools you have with you, these gadgets around yourself? He says, all these are the different gadgets I use to catch and to mislead and to deceive people. And then he sees that big one and he says, what was that? He says, for 9 months I've been weaving this chain, making this chain just to trap Shaykh Ansari. But he broke it and he went away. And then he says, what do you have for me? Which one is mine? He says, you don't need anything. I just do that and you are with me. So Shaitan, he has traps. He has tools. He has gadgets and he never sits quiet. The moment Shaitan will sit quiet, we will be at ease. Shaitan, he lays his traps for everyone in every field, regardless of what his position is. He lays his traps for the religious, he raises traps for the pious, for the good, for the bad, for everyone. So he never sits at ease. The topic we were talking about is that the elite class mu'mineen, who are the associates and the friends of the 12th Imam. And it was mentioned, now all this is a lesson to myself first. And it was mentioned that they, to bridge the gap between them and their Imam, or to lessen the distance between them and their God, the performance is so perfect and it's so sterile that examples were mentioned that they don't even have a makruh thought. And if that thinking does come to their mind, they are punished in a way from Allah, or signs are given to them so that they come back to themselves and know that what has come to their mind was wrong. Or for example, the example was mentioned for Prophet Yunus. He hasn't done anything wrong, but was punished for 30 years. Why? Because he abandoned his town a bit earlier, although that azab was destined to come to them, and he was informed of that. But Allah says that he should have been with his nation until the last moment. Maybe one of them wanted to embrace. So for those elite class, the exam is also tough. The test is also tough. And because we are talking about that elite class, we should do something that all these minor things which we think as minor should also not exist in our performance. There is a hadith from Amir al-Mu'mineen. He says that أَشَدُّ الذُّنُوب مَسْتَخَفَّ بِهِ صَاحِبُهُ, that the worst of all sins is a sin which a person says that's tiny, that's little, that's small. Or elsewhere says مَسْتَحَانَ بِهِ صَاحِبُهُ, or which the person committing that sin says that that's slight, that's small, that's nothing even if I do. It's just a little kiss, for example. It's a munch of a haram sandwich. Just one munch, it wasn't a whole sandwich, etc., etc. So these tiny things, Amir al-Mu'mineen says, are the great things. And again, that is the same thing that we see in the performance of the elite class Mu'mineen, that those tiny things are counted as huge, big, grave mistakes. Now, the topic is Shaitan. We should know him, that the tactics which he lays and the conspiracies he puts forward, the traps which he lays for us to fall into. To understand this, how Shaitan operates in nowadays, for example, they came up with these crisps and chips, chicken flavor or bacon flavor or cheese flavor, etc., etc. Now, if you ask the ruling for that, it's okay to eat because it's not that thing itself. It's just a flavoring, it's just an essence. But we being or trying to get into that elite class, we should refrain from it. Why should we associate with something which we are said not to associate with? Although it's not haram, but chicken flavored chips, why should we eat them? We should have no association at all with them. A total segregation. Shaitan, he comes up like that. He comes up with a flavor first. Now, I was in one of these states a few months ago, and they said, we want to take you out for lunch today. I said, reluctantly, I said, okay. And then they took me to a place, and it's all halal. Everything is perfect here. And when I enter, it's the layout of the fast foods. And then they've got ham, they've got bacon, they've got pepperoni, and what not, everything listed. I said, we should go out from here. The owner, he comes out, he said, don't worry, everything is halal over here. I said, everything is halal, and what is all this? A list of all haram stuff. He says, no, it's just to attract the customers. We use beef and mutton, but we label and tag it like that. So, what is this? It's again another way of misleading or laying traps. So when that association with the flavors is accepted, then association with those names will also be accepted. And the next step will that itself, that haram itself also will be accepted by a person. So Shaitan works in levels, in layers, in steps. As Rahman also works in the same way. He gradually, Allah says, come step by step towards myself. Shaitan also puts traps step by step. First it's the flavor, then it's the name, and then it's the sin itself. So Shaitan has to be known. We have to know who this Shaitan is, who the enemy is, who the enemy in our inner self is, and who the enemy in the exterior is. All these tags that they come up with, there's a definition of halal and there is a definition of zabiha. Why do we need these two definitions? It's again just a way of cheating, deceiving, misleading people. All that is not required. Allah says, do it, do it, don't do it, don't do it. No association, a total segregation. The same thing is with gelatine. If gelatine is like that, use it. If it is like that, don't use it. So we don't use it at all. No one will die by not using and not consuming gelatine at all. No one will die. So this is Shaitan, how he plays his tactics, his conspiracies, his traps. Now, because our aim is to get into that elite class and the associates of the Imam, a total segregation with all this stuff. Although it may be haram, but we will just refrain from it. Coming back to our topic, Imam al-Asr, ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu al-sharif. Muhammad has 180 names that have been mentioned in different books. Now these names, each name, it is a reflection of the Imam. Now we who want to adapt with the Imam should try and get familiar with these names so that we also get acquaintance with them, and a reflection of those names is in us. Or if you see Dua Joshan Kabir, which is 1001 names of Allah, and when it is said that if someone does recite that Dua, he will be protected from the Azab, he will be protected from what and what not. Now all these things have effect in an individual when he tries to understand them and tries to reflect each name of Allah in himself. When he himself becomes a junior reflection of that senior existence, which is Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. The same thing is with the names of the Imam. He has so many names. Among them is Mahdi, means the guided. Among them is Muntazar, the awaited, Aba Salih, Mu'ammal, Noor, Muzdar, Sahib, Sahib al-Zaman. All these are the different names of the Imam. Among his names is Ghaib, means the unseen. Now the Imams, prior to the 12th Imam, none of them possessed this title of Ghaib. Now this is only the 12th Imam who has this name and this title as Ghaib. In the Salawat, known as the Salawat of Khaja Nasir, you must have heard it. It starts with Allahumma salli wa zid wa barik ala sahib al-da'wat al-nabawiyya wa sawlat al-haydariyya wa al-ismat al-fatimiyya wa al-hilm al-hasaniyya wa al-shaja'at al-husayniyya wa al-ibadat al-sajjadiyya, so on and so forth. And comes to the 12th Imam after saying that وَالْهَيْبَةِ الْعَسْكَرِيَّةِ وَالْغَيْبَةِ الْإِلَاهِيَّةِ. So this غَيْبَةِ الْإِلَاهِيَّةِ وَالْغَيْبَةِ, being غائب, is the title of the 12th Imam. Now being among the creations of Allah, or the Imams, all of them, humanity, each one of them, the rule is that when Allah has created, He should be present. He should be before everyone. But why is it that Imam, Allah has created him and the ruling is that, and his right is that he should be present, he is absent, he is away, he is unseen? Why is that? Now being unseen of the Imam, if you analyze it and look into it carefully, it's not his fault. Allah, He has created the sun to provide heat and light to His creation, to His khalq. If clouds hinder between the sun and His creation, it's not the sun's fault. It's something which has been imposed onto the sun. The same way, Allah, He has created the Imam, and Imam has to bestow His mercy upon the creation of Allah. And if he is deprived, or if he is put away, or if he is unseen, or if something has hindered between the Imam and his nation and the creation, it's not the Imam's fault. Whose fault is that? We have to look into that. The fault is ours. Now again, a lesson to myself and to each one of us. And that is, we may not be playing a part in the era, in the advent or the starting of this ghaybat of the Imam. It started at a point after the 70 years, after his birth. Now, when it started, we didn't play any part in it. It was our ancestors who played a part. Now, the part which they played was that the performance was not good of theirs. As a result was of that, he was taken away from the people. So in his going into ghaybat, we played no part. But his delayed arrival, definitely we are playing a part in that. Imam, his haq is that he has to be present. His delayed arrival, we are at fault. If you look into the seerah or the time or the of Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salatu was salam, Imam, the tasks assigned to him is to come and to elevate humanity. All of the a'imma, even the 12th Imam, it's the same. Amir al-Mu'mineen, after that saqifa, he was deprived of his khilafah. He was away for such a long time, 25 years. Now that period where he was away, the people were deprived, or he was deprived from bestowing his special share of mercy to the creation. So there was a barrier, a hindrance, and that barrier was created by the people, not by the Imam. They did not allow the Imam to perform his task, to bestow his mercy upon the people. And the same thing is with the 12th Imam. Now both the occultations, may that be the Ghaybat Sughra or the Kubra, or the delay in the arrival of the Imam, it's the same. In one of these letters to Shaykh Mufid, Imam, he writes, now look at the words which he uses, لِلْأَخِ السَّدِيد وَالْوَلِيِّ الرَّشِيد. Imam, who is the sustainer of this creation, he says that لِلْأَخِ السَّدِيد, to my benevolent brother. And who is that? Shaykh Mufid. That is, he has arrived to a rank that Imam addresses him as my brother. And then says, do you know what is the reason that we are deprived from his presence? He says that فَمَا يَحْبِسُنَا عَنْهُمْ إِلَّا مَا يَتَّسِلُ بِنَا مِمَّا نَكْرَهُ. Says the reason for we being deprived from the Imam, or the reason for this barrier between us and the Imam, is the bad performance of us. It's the things which we do and which he doesn't like. So that is the reason for that. When this saqifa takes place, which is the advent of deviation, of inhiraf, of dhalala, the foundation stone of nifaq, hypocrisy, was laid. The foundation of darkness, of evil, of disunity, and the love for this world, it was laid again in that days, in those days. Or if you see the time of Imam al-Mujtaba, during that time and after that, for 10 years Abu Abdullah, he was deprived from the people. The informers, the situation was so tough that people, they had no access, or they did not approach the Imam for 10 years. And that can be seen by the riwayat that we have, that have been reported by Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. In those 10 years are only 270 or 280 riwayat from Abu Abdullah al-Hussein in 10 years. Means that in each year he uttered 27 or 28 sentences. So that is a disaster, that Allah, who has sent an Imam for the guidance of man, that Imam, he cannot give his message, he cannot educate people, he cannot teach people. So the situation at that time was so bad. And many a times, Imam, again to protect the Shias, They used to address those arrogant rulers as Amirul Mu'mineen. Now, Amirul Mu'mineen is a title that is only and only for Imam Ali alayhi salam. A person, he comes to our sixth Imam and says that, can I address the 12th Imam as Amirul Mu'mineen? Imam says, no, you can't. Says, if you want to address the 12th Imam, say, As-salamu alayka ya baqiyatullah. And then says, Baqiyatullah khayrun lakum in kuntum mu'mineen. That if you want to address the 12th Imam, never address him as Amirul Mu'mineen. Amirul Mu'mineen is the title given by Allah to Imam Ali only, and none other and no other Imam. It's only Amirul Mu'mineen. Now, if you see how mazloom or oppressed the Imams were, that this title that was given by Allah to the first Imam, the A'imma, they used to use it just as a taqiyya and to protect their Shias. They used to use that title for those arrogant rulers. And then Imam says, if you want to address the 12th Imam, say, As-salamu alayka ya baqiyatullah. Baqiyatullah means the representative of Allah on this earth. So these boundaries or these limitations that we find around Imam, it is nothing which he has imposed upon himself. No, it's something which we have imposed on the Imam. It's the bad performance that we have, and as a result of that, Imam, he is away, and this thick cloud of evil, it's between us and the Imam. Marhum Nu'mani, in his book Ghaybat, reports from Amir al-Mu'mineen that on the member of Kufa, Imam was speaking to the people and says that, وَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ الْأَرْضَ لَا تَخْلُوا مِنْ حُجَّةِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلُّ وَلَكِنْ سَيُعْمِي خَلْقَهُ أَنْهَا بِظُلْمِهِمْ وَجَوْرِهِمْ. Imam says that Allah, he has created this land, and this land of Allah will never be without his argument, without his hujjat. And if a time comes when you find that that argument, that hujjat of Allah is away, and people are blinded, that is, as if there is a blindfold on these people and they cannot see the Imam, it is a result of their own zulm. It is the result of their own arrogance, israf, and wrongdoing. Or in the true sense, the hijab is ours. There is no hijab on the Imam. Or the barriers are from us, the wrong is from us. Or in easier words, this ghaibat of the Imam, again, it's for us. It's for the reason behind that is us. Otherwise, the ziyarat, in one of the ziyarat that we have for the 12th Imam, we say that As-salamu alayka ya hujjatallah allati la takhfa, that salam be upon that hujjat, that argument of Allah, who is never hidden. Imam is never hidden. We have hidden him. Hijab is from us, and we have put those barriers around the Imam. Or in, we have imprisoned the Imam in today's language. The same thing can be seen in Dua Nudba, that Aina baqiyatullah allati la takhlu min al-'itratil hadiya, that where is that representative of Allah allati la takhlu min al-'itratil hadiya, who is never away from this itrat and the guidance. One of the ulama in Najaf, he wished to see the Imam, and he says that, who does not wish to see the Imam? Everyone does wishes to see the Imam. And he imposed upon himself a few tasks, and says, for 40 weeks I started going to Masjid al-Sahla. Masjid al-Sahla is in Iraq, and it's going to be one of the headquarters of the 12th Imam when he arrives, inshallah. Says that for 40 consecutive weeks, I was very cautious of my performance, of how it's going to be. And on the 40th week again, when I was hoping to meet the Imam, I don't get to him. He was informed to start another, to impose something else on him, because it is not guaranteed that whatever we do, we see the Imam. Now that seeing of the Imam, meeting the Imam, it's a visa that has to be granted from him. If he issues it, we can meet him, no matter how many weeks, no matter how many years we impose upon ourselves. As again it was mentioned, for 19 years Ali ibn Mahziyar, he went for Hajj. On the 20th year he was granted that permission to see the Imam. Says that I imposed upon myself another task, and after that I was hoping and to meet the Imam. Says I was busy with one of these a'mal, and all of a sudden, now these a'mal, a person who performs them, he may not get to the destination and conclude with what he wanted to get originally, but an effect, a result of these a'mal is that he gets a clear inner self, or a spiritual uplift, or he purifies his soul by these tasks. And many a times you find that you see things, you hear things. Now this is something which Allah has guaranteed. He has said that if someone fasts sincerely, fasting, it will bless you with wisdom, with hikmah. Or if someone talks less, again he will be blessed with wisdom, with hikmah. The same thing is with eating less, laughing less, so on and so forth. Says that I was still busy with these tasks of mine, and all of a sudden a vision opens before me and says that if you want to meet the Imam of your time, go to the market, and in that locksmith's shop, Imam is there. He rushes to the shop. And there he enters, says salam, Imam replies and says to him, just stand in that corner to this alim. He says, okay. He just stood, and then an old woman comes into the shop. She comes and she has a lock with her. And to the locksmith, she says that, can you buy this for 3 riyals? Now the locksmith, he sees it and then he says that it's worth 8 riyals. I can buy it for 7 if you want. She says, just give me 3, I'm desperate and I'm in need of that 3 riyals, and that should be sufficient for me. He says, okay, but it's in good condition, it's working, it's not broken, and it's worth 8 riyals. And if I was to buy it from you, I'll buy it for 7 because I am a retailer and I need to sell it so that I can sell it for 8. She is happy, she's pleased that she wanted 3 riyals and she's getting 7 now. She takes that 7, prays for him, and comes out of the shop. And then Imam addresses this alim and says that in this whole town, this is the only one person who is trustworthy. Be like him. All these impositions upon yourselves, they are not required. You be good, I'll come and meet you. I'll come to you. And then it was as such that old lady, she goes into every shop in that market, and they say, when she wants 3 riyals, they want to make money more, and they say, we'll buy it from you for 1, and she wanted 3. She comes to the shop and she gets them. So Imam says that throughout this whole land, or that city which he was, that was the only person who was the trustworthy, which Imam trusted and relied upon. Now if an army or an ordinary person could be like that, again from Shaykh Hasan Ali Tehrani, among the ulama of Isfahan, it's reported that in those days TB, tuberculosis, it had no cure. He comes to meet one of his friends, and there they say that they find he is in a bad shape and he will give away his life. They face him towards Qibla. Unless he sweats, and the treatment in those days was as such that for TB, if that person sweated, they could find a cure for him. Says that this alim comes to them and they say, this is the reason. If he doesn't sweat, then we have no option. He's going to die. He says to them, you go and make a tea for me and he will sweat. Now making a tea takes about 10 to 15 minutes. They go make a tea and bring for him, and in that time he sweats and he gets shifa and help. And they ask him that why and how. You said that he will sweat, and he sweated and he got better. He says that from the day I wore this attire of Imam al-Asim, the dress, this amama of the 12th Imam, I never committed a sin. I never broke his heart. I never hurt him in any way. And I am certain that if I say something, Imam will never let me down. So if an ordinary person like that locksmith, if an alim like that is present, then why should Imam not come? So the reason for him not coming, it's the shortfall, the shortcoming, the performance, the wrongdoings of ours that Imam says in that letter to Shaykh Mufid, and Amir al-Mu'mineen says in that khutbah to his people, the absence of the Imam, it's our performance, it's our wrongdoing, it's our evil. So three things were mentioned yesterday. That the first thing is that we have to feel the pain that being deprived from the Imam. Imam is away from us. We cannot see him. We have to have that pain. And unless we have that pain, that we are muzdar, that we are desperate, the other levels, the other steps, they cannot be. Now when we say amma yujibul muzdarra idha da'ahu wa yakshifu su, in a report says that the main applicable of this dua, of this ayah, it's the Imam himself. Says that the night, when in the morning of that night Imam is going to arrive, our sixth Imam, he says that he will be in sajda so much, he will cry all night until the morning, just saying أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ وَيَكْشِفُ السُّوءُ, with that painful heart of his. And in that morning, after all those recitations of Amma Yujib, the arrival of the Imam will take place. So we who want the Imam, to be with the Imam, to be a friend of him, that is dirar, that need, that requirement, that pain to be with him has to be in us as well. And the second step, as it was mentioned yesterday, is that his tasks should be our tasks. His desires should be our desires. We shouldn't stick to these small plans that we have and ask Imam to sort them out. We should be after the large plans which Imam is after. Whatever he is after, we should be after that. That is obedience. And that is what we find and we see in this dua in Ziyarat Ali Yasin. If you get a time, recite it. It's beautiful. Especially the dua after that Ziyarat Ali Yasin. It's a dua for our own selves, that we accept the Imam and then we talk to the Imam and then we... that Ziyarat Ali Yasin, it's the report from the 12th Imam himself. He says that if you want to address the 12th Imam, address him in that way. Salamun ala Ali Yasin, until the end of it. And in the middle of it, we come and say that, فَالْحَقُّ مَا رَضِيتُمُ, that right is that which you are pleased with it. That is haqq. Wal batil ma askhattumu. Batil is that which you hate. Or in easier words, it's that ayah in Quran which says ma ataakumur rasul fakhudhu. Whatever rasul has given you, take it. Whatever he has said, don't take it. Simple formula before us. Wal ma'roof ma amartum bih wal munkar ma nahaytum an. Now if that haqiqat of mine, that is, embraced and accepted, Imam also will reply. That is, we do as he has said, whatever he has said, don't do, we don't do, he will come to us. That's his guarantee, that is what he has said. Elsewhere, when they, Ahlul Bayt, are happy, they too, they yahzununa bihuznina wa yafrahuna bifarahina. Says that mu'mineen, they are those who are disturbed when we are disturbed. They are happy when we are happy. Now this attitude of us, that when we sit and moan for the Imam, when it is the time of grief or the days of Azar of Aba Abdullah, and when we are pleased and we are happy and we observe majalis of happiness for their joyous occasions, they say that we also do the same for you when you are in pain. In a hadith from Amir al-Mu'mineen, he says that Rumayla, one of the companions of Amir al-Mu'mineen, he is ill, he has high temperature, and then his temperature is better. He says it's a Friday, and he says that now that I'm a little bit better, the best thing for me is to get ready, perform a wuzu, and go and say my Jummah prayers with Amirul Mu'min, behind Amirul Mu'mineen. What would be a better task for that? He gets up, does his wuzu, comes to the mosque, says his prayers after behind Amirul Mu'mineen, and then amidst the khutbah when Amirul Mu'mineen was reciting, again he starts shivering and shaking, and the temperature is back. After the khutbah, after the prayers, Amirul Mu'mineen meets him and says that you are not feeling well. He says, yes, Ya Imam, I wasn't well, but today I was feeling a bit better, I came. And then Imam says that, Ya Rumayla, Laysa min mu'minin yamrudu illa maridna bimaradih. There is no mu'min who fell sick, but we also fell sick with him. We are also ill with him. Wala yahzun illa huzn. And then says, illa hazanna bihuznih. And he never gets afflicted or is in grief, but that we also are in grief with him. وَلَا يَدْعُوا إِلَّا أَمِنَّا لِدْعَائِهِ. And then he doesn't pray, but that we say Ameen for his prayers. So on and so forth until the end of the hadith. The devotion among the mu'mineen that we have in the community, that is a reflection of that bond and love which Ma'asumeen and Aimma have towards their Shias. If a mu'min possesses that love and bond to fellow mu'mineen, it is something which he has sought from Ma'asumeen, from the A'imma. Now this is something which is a fact, which is a reality, that we do not know how to live, we do not know how to talk. If you see dua iftitah, there says that Allahumma adhinta li fi dua'ik, that God, you permitted me to talk to you. Now that I want to talk to you, how do I talk to you? I don't know how to talk. It is Ma'asum who teaches us how to talk to Allah. How to approach Allah, what are the words to use. We can't talk to each other properly. So a person with a dark past, he comes to Ayatullah al-Uzma Burujerdi, inshallah we'll talk about him tomorrow, comes to him, has a bitter past. All of a sudden in the morning he sells whatever he possesses, which is about 5,000 Tumans, about 40-50 years ago, which will be about $5 million today. Sells everything, comes straight to Qom to Ayatullah al-Uzma Burujerdi, and puts that money in front of the Marja. Because Ayatullah Burujerdi was the whole sole authority at one time in 60s and 70s, and there wasn't a second Marja-i Taqleed for the Shia world. He was the only one at that time. He puts that money before the Marja and says, this is najis, and then says, apart from this money that I have brought before you, the clothes that I am wearing, they are also najis, that is, they have been from unlawful means and it's all najis. I've come here so that you clean me, you purify me. Again, that needs a lot of guts, a lot of courage, that a person twists in his lifetime, repents sincerely, comes and asks for forgiveness. Now the Ayatullah, he says that, okay, you can leave those clothes of yours, you can leave that money here, and you go. And while he was going, he says that I saw this Ayatullah, he was soaked wet in tears, crying. Now he has sinned, he has repented, now this person is crying over here, that again is a beauty. Now the reason for that crying again, it is said that riwayat, they say that At-ta'ibu Habibullah, that someone who repents sincerely, he is the beloved of Allah. Or elsewhere says that At-ta'ibu min al-dhamb kaman la dhambala, someone who has repented sincerely is as if he hasn't committed a sin at all. Or elsewhere says that it's like someone who is exalted, who has just been born with no trace of sins on him. Now he, the Marja Taqleed, he possesses wilaya. From the other sources which he had, he gives him 5,000 tumans. And he says that those clothes of yours, you can take them. Says this money of yours will be your capital and start a clean life from today. Now this person leads a clean life, moves to Mashhad from Tehran, lives over there. Now this is the important part. Now, the last few moments, the last hour of the life of this person who had that bitter past, who switched over and repented and starts a new livelihood, his wife says that from 11 p.m., he starts looking at the clock. Every 5 minutes, Hussein John, Abba Abdullah, you haven't come? Every 5 minutes. And then he says that, Imam, I was sincere to you. And the reason why he repented and came to Ayatollah Burujardi, he says that, if Imam Hussein on the day of judgment in Mahshar looks at me, I don't want to be embarrassed and ashamed, so clean me. And it says every 5 minutes he looks at the clock and you haven't come, and the door, Abu Abdullah, you haven't come. Says, I've been sincere in my repentance. I switched over, I moved to you. Now it's your time that you show how sincere you are to the Imam. And the wife says, at 5 minutes to midnight, he says, Assalamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah, as if the Imam is at the door, and he gives away his life. So that is sincerity. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهِ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ أَلَّا تَخَافُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا وَأَبْشِرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ الَّتِي كُنْتُمْ تُوعَدُونَ. That إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهِ, those who said, our Lord is Allah. ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا, and they were steadfast on what they claimed. Says, تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ, the angels, they descend upon them. Allah تَخَافُوا, don't be scared, don't be afraid. وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا, nor be in grief. وَأَبْشِرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ, to you that basharat and the good news, that is the paradise. Allati kuntum tu'adun, that what has been blessed to you. Now the paradise, riwayat, they say it was created by the light and the nur of Hussein. There is a hadith which is amazing. I just came across this today. It says that from our sixth Imam, Sadiq alayhi salatu was salam, reporting from Wasail al-Shia, says, إِنَّ لِزَوَّارِ الْحُسَيْنِ ابْنِ عَلِي يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ فَضْلًا عَلَى النَّاسِ. Reporting from Zurara, he says that someone who is a Zawwar, who pays a visit to Aba Abdullah and Hussein, he has a fadl, he has a virtue, he has a greatness which he possesses, which no one else possesses in among the mankind. Now someone who's paying a visit to Aba Abdullah. Now that visit, may that be by way of ziyarat, from far, from near, whatever. Now in this just incident I reported, it's an imam who is paying a visit to this person. Says, فَقَالْ يَدْخُلُونَ الْجَنَّةَ قَبْلَ النَّاسِ بِأَرْبَعِينَ عَامًا وَسَائِرُ النَّاسِ فِي الْمَحْشَرِ. That a visitor, a zair of the Aba Abdullah al-Hussein, says he will enter the paradise 40 years before other people, when they will be all waiting in Mahshar. That is Aba Abdullah al-Hussein. Or in that beautiful poem in Farsi, who says that, Bidan umid daham jan, ke khaak kooy to basham, daran nafas ke bemiram, dar arzooy to basham. That may it be as such, I die, and the breath of mine, the last breath of mine, is the wish and the desire of yours. بِگُفْتَگُوِ تُخِیزَمْ بِجُسْتَجُوِ تُبَاشَمْ. Talking to you and looking for you, I get up. بِوَقْتِ صُبْحِ قِيَامَتْ كِسَرْزِ خَاكْ بَرَارَمْ. And on that day of Qiyamah, on that day of Mahshar, when I will be resurrected from the earth, نَزَرْ بِسُوِ تُدَارَمْ غُلَامِ رُوِ تُبَاشَمْ. My desire is that I look at you and I be your servant, I be your ghulam. And that is the wish, that is the desire, that is the want which we all have, that is our wish. No doubt, this distance that we have with the Imam is our bad performance. It's our evil performance. We have done wrong, a lot of wrong throughout our life. Or in easier words, we are drowned in wrong, we are drowned in evil, we are drowned in sins. As the definition of the sin that was mentioned the other day, that everything which distances us from Allah, everything that does not lessen the distance of ours with Allah, that is a sin as defined. There is a lot of wrong in us. So Imam, you help us, you correct us, you put things right, we will try our best. We will try to correct our performance. Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salam was hurt and afflicted a lot by Mansur la'natullah alayhi. Many a times they used to come to the Imam, they used to drag him in the streets and take him to the Darul Imam, Darul Khilafah. Sometimes, day in, day out, they used to come to the house of Imam. They didn't give him time to get dressed and used to drag him into the street. And says that in one of these nights, Mansur, he summoned the Imam, and there his wazir also, who was present, Rabi'a, he says that Mansur was to the brink of that point that he wanted to kill the Imam. He takes his sword out, puts it in. For the second time, he drags his sword out and again puts it back in. For the third time, he drags the sword from the sheath all the way out and again puts it back in. And then sends the Imam back home. Rabi says that, Mansur, why was that? Three times your intention were to kill the Imam and you didn't do it. He says that every time I pulled the sword, I saw Rasulullah standing before me in rage. And the third time it was the same thing and I put my sword back. Now we should ask, Ya Rasulullah, where were you when they attacked the house of Ali? Where were you when your daughter was slapped? In a riwayat from our sixth Imam, he says that the vision of my grandmother being beaten, and I still see as if her earring is broken in her ear. We should ask, where were you, Ya Rasulullah? Where were you when your son, Abu Abdullah al-Hussein, he was on the day of Ashura? We should ask, Ya Rasulullah, where were you when your son was martyred? Where were you when he was poisoned? Where were you when he was sliced? Where were you when he was beheaded? Says that Abu Abdullah, he saw all the different types of torture on the day of Ashura. He saw every type of death on the day of Ashura. He was poisoned, he was killed, he was beheaded, he was under tension, he was under stress. Everything what a person can think of, everything was present over there on the day of Ashura. Quran says that when Allah wants to test someone, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْسٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. Say that when I want to test someone, I test them with a bit of a fright, with a bit of a fear, with a bit of taking away their loved ones, their life, their possessions, a bit of that. But we see in Karbala, it wasn't a bit, it was a lot of everything. A lot of downpour, a lot of afflictions that downpoured on Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. Among these afflictions, among these tests which Abu Abdullah gives on the day of Ashura, is how he departs and gives away his son for the sake of Allah, and that is Ali Akbar. Regarding Ali Akbar, whose mother is Layla, says that in one of the meetings when this Muawiyah la'natullah alayh and his associates were present, he says that, after me, who do you think would be the best of successor for me? Now those around him says, there's no one, you are the only one and you are second to none. Muawiyah says, no, after me, if someone is good for this succession of mine, it's Ali Akbar. He possesses the might of Bani Hashim and he possesses the generosity of Bani Umayyah. And again, when this caravan of Abu Abdullah arrives to Karbala, Imam, he dozes off. He wakes up astonished and says that I just had a dream. I see as if death is following this caravan. Ali Akbar, he says that awalasna bil haq. Are we not on the right, Ya Aba Abdullah, O father? Are we not right? Then why this death is following us? Shall we go to another place where we could get rid of this? Again, if you look into Quran, says with reference to Prophet Ibrahim, that when he is to be tested, says that I saw my son, I am killing him as a sacrifice. And when he took his son, now the son is an obedient son, he says that, see, as you have been told, Satajiduni inshaAllah min as-sabirin, that you will find me, that I will be patient. Prophet Ibrahim takes his son to the place to sacrifice him, and that sacrifice is accepted, and Allah switches it with a lamb. But when it comes to Aba Abdullah, he takes his son to the battlefield, but it doesn't switch to a lamb. The son has to be killed over there. It's a tough test that he sees, that he's on that day of Ashura. And on that day of Ashura, when it comes to the time of one after the other, the ashab of Imam to be killed, when the ashab, they come and seek permission from the Imam, Imam does not allow them immediately. But when it comes to his own sons, he says yes, immediately. And the first one to set out and to depart to the battlefront and who was killed is Ali Akbar, and that is the son of Aba Abdullah. And says that Allahumma ashhad ala ha'ula al-qawm faqad baraza ilayhim ashbahun nas ila rasulik. That, O God, be a witness on this nation that someone has appeared upon them who resembles your prophet the most. This is someone who possesses the might of Amirul Mu'mineen and who possesses the looks, the charm and the attitude of Rasulullah. And when Ali Akbar, he sets off to the battlefront, there he fights, kills a lot of the enemies, and then he comes back and he says that, Ya Abata, al-Atash qad qatalani, that this thirst, it's killing me, my father. Imam says that, look at my tongue, it's the same, it's worse, it's dry. And then says, Irja ila qital aduwik, go back to fight with your enemies. And he comes back, and then no one from the army of Umar Isad is willing to attack Ali Akbar. And this Mal'oon Mur bin Munqiz Azdi, he comes forward and he attacks the horse and Ali Akbar. He falls down and there is dust all around him, and there is an ambush, and people, they come and attack him, and he is sliced over there. Now this is one report. The second report says that Mur bin Munqiz Abdi Lanatullah alayhi, he attacks the head of Ali Akbar alayhi salam, and there his head starts bleeding, his eyes are bled, he cannot see anything, he falls down, and there they attack him, they slice him. And then he raises the call that, Ya Abata, alayka minni salam, that my father, upon you be my salam. The father comes to the son, holds him, cleans his eyes and his mouth, and then says that, my father, I see Rasulullah, he is before me, and he has quenched my thirst. Upon that, the women from the caravan, from the camps, they come and throw themselves onto Ali Akbar, and La la'natullah ala al-qawm al-zalimeen. وَسَيَعْلَمُ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا أَيَّ مُنْقَلَبٍ يَنْقَلِبُونَ السَّلَامُ عَلَيْكَ يَا أَبَا عَبْدِ اللَّهِ وَعَلَى الْأَرْوَاحِ الَّتِي حَلَّتْ بِفِنَائِكَ عَلَيْكَ مِنِّي سَلَامُ اللَّهِ أَبَدًا مَا بَقِيتْ وَبَقِيَ اللَّيْلُ وَالنَّهَارِ وَلَا جَعْلَهُ اللَّهُ آخِرَ الْعَهْدِ مِنِّي لِزِيَارَتِكُمْ السَّلَامُ عَلَى الْحُسَيْنِ وَعَلَى عَلِيِّ بْنِ الْحُسَيْنِ وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين ماتم حسين.